Today on Real Life Radio.
No, I'm not saying that we should agree with everything Israel does. They do some pretty stupid things. God didn't ask us to agree with them when they do good things and to get upset with them when they do bad things. God says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, Israel. Isn't that something?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, and this is part one. Here in chapter 7, there's a pause in the series of events to talk about Israel. Now, God's not done with his chosen people, that's the truth. And when those terrible days of the tribulation come, Israel will ultimately be saved. You see, throughout history, the children of Israel have suffered greatly for disobeying God. But God loves Israel and brought them back into their land back in 1948. Now, as we pause to go back to the first part of the tribulation period, we'll see God once again dealing with Israel. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when the church is raptured from the earth and the tribulation period begins, still, there will be great revival in Israel during the tribulation, and salvation will come to them in the midst of all their trouble. Now in his message called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Chapter 7, this will definitely be a Part 2 message just because of the magnitude of what is being announced to us here. And I apologize in advance for those of you who may not be studying with us, maybe you're visiting. We come now to a portion of Scripture that is very technical, not so much in its content, but because of where it's placed in the book of Revelation. Up until now, we have enjoyed pretty much a chronological march through the book of Revelation. Now we come to what? Are you ready, Bible students? Jot it down. There's note sheets in front of your seat. Grab it. Very important. Mark it down next to your margin. We now come to what is mentioned or presented as a parenthetical chapter of the Bible. In this case, Revelation chapter 7 is a parenthetical insert, meaning this, and here's your definition, that as the chronology goes on, the Lord, in revealing to the Apostle John futuristic events, puts a comma. That comma ends or is at the ending verse of chapter 6. There's a, I know it's a period in your Bible, but there should be a comma there. That comma now stops Revelation chapter 6, last verse. Then God, so to speak, grabs John by the face and turns his eyes toward two different set of events. Phase 1 and phase 2. Things that will happen that, in a sense, are an overview of the last... Are you getting it? This is tough stuff. I mean, I got to tell you, a lot of people don't get this. So maybe you can get the CD and review it later and study it. If you get it, if you don't get it, whatever. Chapter 8 commences the last 3.5 year period of the 7-year tribulation that's coming to the earth. Revelation chapter 7 is a parenthetical insert that explains some things before chapter 8 begins. In other words, the 3.5 years have come, first 3.5. There's a pause. God now talks to John. John tells us what he sees. When John in chapter 7 is done speaking to us, then guess what happens? It picks up again and it goes. Are you with me? It's kind of like a pause on your tape player. You just hit pause. Here in chapter 7, God hits pause and begins to show John some very fantastic things. The understanding of this chapter is all important to the remainder of the book. You miss this chapter and you will never understand the remainder of the book. And you will always be misunderstanding eschatology or the prophetic study of God's Word. Now we're going to look at the entire 12 verses that will comprise part 1 and 2, but we will focus this morning just on several of these verses. Revelation 7, beginning at verse 1. After these things, circle that, that's key. Meta tauta. After these things, the things of chapter 6, John says, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or in any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. This is what he said, verse 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Verse 5, of whom the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, that's unique, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Verse 9, after these things, meta tauta, again, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations. These are non-Jews, by the way. Verse 9 introduces us to non-Jewish people. All nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And the word there says, amen. The word in Hebrew, same in Greek, same in English, meaning let it be so or let it be true. Listen, from the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, keep this in mind. God spoke in times past. He said, thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of great fear, and not of peace. Ask me now and see whether a man has ever labored in pains to give birth as a woman does. So then why do I see every man holding his hands over his loins like a woman who suffers in labor? And all their faces shall turn pale from pain. Alas, for it is this great and terrible day. It has come, and there is none like it. For it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but Jacob shall be delivered out of it. That's Jeremiah chapter 30. This portion of scripture of Revelation 7 introduces us, verses 1 through 8, to a dynamic group of people. And it lists them, gives us no doubt as to who they are. There is an introduction of 144,000 people who God will call out from their place in this world. They will be ordained. They will be summoned. They will be called. And there will be 12,000 of them coming from 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. That's what the Bible says. It will happen. What's interesting about this is from now, Bible students, we now get prepared. Chapter 7 prepares us to enter into chapter 8, preparing us for the last 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation period. And brother, is it tough? Is it something? You see, the first 3.5 years, as we've been studying in Revelation chapter 6, is the advent of the Antichrist. He will deceive the world with prosperity. He will deceive the world through a demonic peace. He will deceive the world through the implementation of a restoration, so to speak, of the environment. He'll be a tremendous politician. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament There's no doubt as to where he will arise. He will come out of what once was the ancient Roman Empire. He will come out of what has been affectionately viewed as the revised Roman Empire. An easy way of explaining it, that the nations of ancient Rome at the time of Christ and before will come together in the last days, and out of the conglomeration of nations, there will arise 10 predominant leaders, almost like we have today, you know, in the world, we have what's called the G7. Are you familiar with that, anybody? They are the 7 global economic powers of the world, of which the United States is, at this time anyway, number one. And my memory fails me as to what those nations or who those nations are, but Germany is one of them. I think Spain is another one. Japan is one of them. England's another one of them. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's 7 of them, and I think Russia's made application, though it's completely broke. The world is trying to get the Russian economy going because Russia owes so much to everybody. There's the G7. Now, there's more than 7 nations in all the earth, isn't there? But there are the governing powerful 7 that manipulate the governments of the world through money. And that's the G7. They meet every year, by the way, for a summit, and they discuss how things are going to go. Very, very powerful group of people. Well, there is a time coming, and I don't think it's all that far away, where we are already seeing the revised Roman Empire established through what is called the USE. In Europe, they call it the USE, the United States of Europe, or the EU, the European Union. And they will have their own dollar, and now it's called the euro. They will have their own economic base. They will have their own leaders. And the Bible says that out of the conglomeration of many nations, by the way, 10 predominant G7 types, G10 types, will arise and broker the powers of the world that be. That will happen under the powers and the controls of the Antichrist. And then all of these things we studied in Revelation chapter 6 will come upon the earth. All that happens in the first 3.5 year period. Now we come to the pause of Revelation 7. And it's all about God focusing in a powerful way on the nation of Israel. My friend, listen carefully this morning. This is a serious issue because most people who oppose it are so-called Christians. What I'm about to introduce to you is heresy. It is damnable heresy. It is revealed in Scripture as being anti-Semitic or demonic. And that is, there are those who have lived in generation to generation that believe this, that God is done with the Jewish nation, that whatever God promised to the nation of Israel was lifted when Christ was crucified and is placed upon not only the church, but some people have been so arrogant to believe that those promises have been lifted from Israel and placed upon the English-speaking peoples of the world. That is called British Israelism, and it is a demonic doctrine. God is not done with the nation Israel, and in fact, God is preparing the nation of Israel for not only its existence, but it has some horribly horrific times ahead in the tribulation period before its glorious days that God intended it to enjoy comes. Very important. If you don't understand that, you better study that in the Bible. I'm not even going to ask you to buy a book on it. Don't buy a book. Read the Bible. You'll be fine. If you buy a book, you'll get goofed up on it. Read the Bible. No, God is not done with his people. And he prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 30 that there's going to be a tremendous time, very, very terrible time. But God says, I will deliver Jacob out of his trouble, a time known as Jacob's trouble. I've asked you before, but I'm going to ask you again because repetition's good for us. What's another name, or what was the name given to Jacob in the Bible after God changed his life, changed his heart? Smart group of people you are. Israel. When you mention or when you read about Jacob, you're reading about Israel. That was his new name given. But here, God speaks through Jeremiah the prophet and says that this time will be a great and terrible time forthcoming. It will be the time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble. But Israel shall be delivered out of it. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 94, verse 13, you grant him relief from the days of trouble, till a pit is dug for the wicked that comes against him. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. That is not a promise given to you and I. Did you know that? That's a promise given to Israel. Now, will God forsake you? No. But God also will not forsake Israel. Very important thing to keep in mind. By the way, you need to remember that when you vote. I am dead serious. You may not like me for saying this. I love you, but I don't care. I don't vote Democrat or Republican or Independent. I'm going to tell you right now personally. First thing I do based upon my Bible open, I look and see what that politician's view is regarding the nation Israel. Why? Because I want America blessed. I'm selfish. You say, what? You want America blessed? Vote for somebody who will support Israel. You want to see America come apart at the seams? Vote for somebody who's not pro-Israel. Now, I'm not saying that we should agree with everything Israel does. They do some pretty stupid things. God didn't ask us to agree with them when they do good things and to get upset with them when they do bad things. God says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, Israel. Isn't that something? Now, if you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't like that, that's making me all upset. That's making me all... Calm down. Get your heart right with God and know that He says they are my chosen people. They may be sometimes a pain in the pocketbook. Or they might be... I have friends who are Israelis and I have friends who are Israelis and are Christians. And I've even found my good friends who are Israelis who are Christians. When you're talking to them and you get down at the table with coffee and Bible open, it's so fun. If you've got two Israelis, if you've got two Jews at your table and you're talking and you're debating things, you're going to have at least five opinions from them. It's so fun. God says He's not done with them. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, Paul the Apostle says, I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite or a Jew of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, says Paul. God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left? And they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 whom have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, says the Apostle Paul, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Did you know that? God's not done with Israel. For the last 2,000 years, the Lord has set aside, so to speak, or placed on hold the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. But He has not neglected them. What God is doing is drawing out of the world at this time a host called the church, a bride of Christ, says the Bible, made up of Gentile believers. But when the church is raptured up out of the earth and the 7-year tribulation period begins at some point after that, it will be God dealing with Israel again. By the way, did you know this? The Bible says that Jesus is engaged or espoused to the church, which is Gentile, but God the Father is already married. Her name is called Israel. Keep that in mind. Very important. But listen, God will turn the nation Israel during the tribulation period. They will cry out to the Lord and they will find out that not only did they have a Jewish prophet that they have not listened to for the last 2,000 years by the name of Jesus, as his Greek name goes, but He is also their Messiah. And we're going to be reading about that in Revelation chapter 7. Before we do, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Luke 19, 41. Jesus, in His last plea to the nation of Israel before He was sacrificed, Jesus said, there the scripture says, Luke 19, 41, as He drew near unto Jerusalem, He saw the city and began to weep over it. My goodness, in a month we're all going to take this walk, the very walk that this happened on. And He said, if you had only known, even you, especially now in this your day. Jesus held Israel responsible to know that very day called Palm Sunday, April 6th, 32 AD. The things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in from every side. And they will level this city and your children within you to the ground. And they will leave within you one stone left upon another because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. Jesus looked to Israel, and while everybody was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus begins to weep. And he says, all of these terrible things will come upon you because you failed to recognize me as your Messiah. Isn't that a tremendous prophetic word? And listen, has that not been true for the last 2,000 years? They have suffered because of their rejection of him. Romans 11, 25 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, my brothers. He's speaking to Gentiles. That's Paul speaking to the Gentiles of Rome. He says, so that you may not be conceited in your salvation, but that Israel has experienced a hardening of the heart against the gospel in part until the full number of the Gentiles is completed. Isn't that interesting? Just think, every time, as we've mentioned before, every time somebody comes to Christ, we get one person closer to that number being filled. God has a number. We don't know what it is. God has a number of Gentiles. That's you and I. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. God has a number. He's counting, okay? I don't know. You can only imagine what that number is, you know. 100,000,262, and all I need is one more. And that one guy says, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I don't know, but could the rapture happen right then? Wouldn't it be awesome? Man, what if you are that number three guy here right now? Well, number three, please stand up and come forward. Get saved. You're holding things up. We want out of here, you know. But Jack, it's going to be such a nice day today. Nothing compared to heaven. Nothing compared to heaven. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, they've been passing through the waters, my friend, for about 2,000 years now. I will be with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 1. This is a great series, isn't it? Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay, the book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So, listen, here goes. It's Socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody, and you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and true. He does his homework, and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So, Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.